During the Easter season, we continue to hear from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, I think, is really remarkable for a few reasons. First of all, we have Philip going to the city of Samaria and proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ, and the crowds there in Samaria are responding to what he's saying. So why is it a big deal that he's going to Samaria? Well, first of all, Jesus predicted that this would happen at the beginning of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. So this passage is actually really important within the book because it shows how what Jesus said was going to happen does happen. So at the beginning of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, this is right before the ascension, when Jesus ascends into heaven, there's this dialogue that happens between Jesus and his apostles. And actually, next weekend is Ascension Sunday. We're going to hear this reading next weekend. So I'm giving you a little foretaste of that. But before Jesus ascends into heaven, his disciples ask him a very important question. They say, "Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And that's a really good question, because at that point, Jesus had been with his disciples for 3 years. He had suffered, died, rose from the dead, and it seemed to them that he was about to go to heaven. And naturally, they're thinking, "Okay, Jesus, so when are you going to do the stuff that the Messiah is supposed to do? When are you going to do it? When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" That's what the Messiah was supposed to do, unite the dispersed tribes of Israel, the 12 that had been exiled and scattered. When are you going to bring them back into one family is what they're asking. Jesus says this back to them. This is at the beginning of Acts. He says, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority, but you will receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." And here's where he prophesies this. "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And this is what we see then in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The first 8 chapters are the apostles preaching in Jerusalem. That's the first thing Jesus says. At the beginning of chapter 8, they go to Judea. Next, they go to Samaria. And then starting in chapter 9, this is when Paul has his conversion and he brings the gospel to the rest of the world. So what Jesus says at the beginning of Acts of the Apostles is then fulfilled throughout the book of the Acts of the Apostles. But there's another reason that Samaria is so important, because Jesus says you'll go to Judea and Samaria. So what are Judea and Samaria? Well, Judea is the southern kingdom, the 2 tribes in the south. Those 2 tribes were always faithful to the Davidic covenant. But then there were 10 northern tribes in northern Israel who weren't faithful to the covenant. And what happens in 720 BC, the Assyrians come in, those northern tribes of Israel scattered. A few Israelites remain, but what happens to them? Well, the Assyrians move people in, pagans. The Israelites who were there begin to intermarry with those pagan people, and they've corrupted their religion now. At least that's what everybody thought. So for the apostles to go to Samaria and preach is a big deal. Why? Because what's happening? Well, the 12 tribes, including those northern tribes that were exiled and lost, essentially, are beginning to come together now. So it's a fulfillment of what the Messiah is supposed to do. So that's the first reason that it's important. The whole scriptures are waiting for this moment to happen. And this is actually one of the reasons why we have to study the Bible, because when we're just bumping along listening to the readings, or maybe not listening to the readings read at Mass. Sometimes I'm daydreaming here. We don't even understand how significant what we're hearing or what we're reading. But actually, what's happening in this very passage is that the whole scriptures, the whole Old Testament is being fulfilled. That what happens here in the Acts of the Apostles is the fulfillment of all the tribes being reunited again into one family. But here's the really interesting thing, I think. We said that at the beginning of the Acts of the apostles say to Jesus, "When are you going to do this? When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And what does Jesus say back to them? "You will receive power on high, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the rest of the world. You'll do it." So it reminds me of a great story in one of the lives of our American saints, St. Catherine Drexel. She's the second U.S. citizen or native-born U.S. citizen to be canonized a saint. She's born in Philadelphia in 1858. Catherine Drexel is a very wealthy young woman. She was the daughter of a banker who was extremely wealthy. But they're an extremely generous family. So all of their money went to enriching the poor. She had a big heart for the poor. So her parents die when she's 18, 19, in her late teens. She inherits a fortune. She begins to give it away. But she's especially concerned with two poverty-stricken populations in the United States, Native Americans and African Americans. And so she begins to give all this money to support them, but then she realizes what they really need is missionaries. They need people, boots on the ground, who can care for these people. So what does she do? She and her sisters make a pilgrimage to Rome. This is in 1887. Somehow they manage to get an audience with the Holy Father, Pope Leo XIII. So she says to Pope Leo XIII, we have poor people here, especially Native Americans, African Americans, or the descendants of the slaves. And you have to do something about it, Holy Father. Send us missionaries to serve these people. What do you think the Holy Father said back to her? You be the missionary. That's what he said. You do it. So Catherine, startled, went home, prayed, and realized that that's exactly what God was calling her to do. To be the missionary that she felt was needed. And she founds a religious community of sisters who did just that and continue to do just that, serve very poor people, especially in the Native American and African American populations. And this is exactly what Jesus does with his disciples. They say, "Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom?" And he says, "You will receive power from on high, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." So that's the other amazing thing about this passage, is that we see the Old Testament and the promises made to the Israelites being fulfilled in this chapter 8 of the Acts of the Apostles. But who's doing it? Not Jesus directly. It's the disciples, the apostles, who are doing it. Jesus is doing it through them. So how does this happen? Well, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to his apostles. They aren't going to have the strength, but they're going to receive strength from God. God himself, the Holy Spirit, who's going to come into them to be their strength so that they can do the mission that Jesus has destined them to do. So this is what we hear about in our reading from John, Jesus promising this advocate who he will send to the disciples after he's ascended to the Father. So where and when do we receive that Holy Spirit? Well, again, this is an amazing reading because this tells us how the disciples receive the Spirit, how we receive the Spirit. So Philip goes to Samaria. He preaches the gospel message. People hear it. They see the miracles that he's working. They want to become Christian themselves. So what has to happen if you want to become Christian? You have to be baptized. That's the first thing. So Philip baptizes these people. But that wasn't enough. Because what happens then? Two of the apostles come. Peter and John. Peter and John go pray for them because they have not yet received the Holy Spirit. And what does he do? What do they do? They lay hands on them, and then they receive, those disciples receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They pray over them, lay hands on them, and then those disciples receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what's that? It's confirmation. So our seniors who we're recognizing today were confirmed last year, most of them last year. They're all confirmed. So that's exactly what happened to them when they received that sacrament of confirmation. It's in the Bible. And probably to many of us in the church, that's what happened to us as well. We were baptized as infants, but then when we reached a certain age, the pastor calls the bishop. Who's the bishop? A successor to the apostles. That's what we believe. And so the successor to the apostles, who's in charge of our local church, what does he do? He comes here, he prays for our young people, and he lays hands on our young people, and through that, they receive the Holy Spirit. So these two sacraments, we see them here in the Acts of the Apostles. We've received the same thing. Baptism, first of all, confirmation, which gives us the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus says to us the same thing that he said to the disciples at the beginning of Acts. He says to us the same thing that Pope Leo XIII said to Catherine Drexel. We can look around and see a lot of problems in the church, in our community. Maybe sometimes when you see these problems that we have, needs that we have that are real, urgent, some of them. What I'm tempted to say sometimes is, gosh, I wish the bishop would do something about that. Maybe you say, I wish Father would do something about that. Man, Father's has to get his act together. No, that's not the message that we're supposed to take from the scriptures. The message is, you do something about it. And how is it possible that we can do something about it? Because we've been baptized and confirmed. We've received power from on high. The strength that God gives us in his own divine life, the Holy Spirit, he's given it to us. So now it's our turn. It's our job. We have to do the work of Jesus on earth. When the apostles were going around the known world proclaiming Jesus Christ, the people that they were encountering had never heard of Jesus, and the gospel message was totally new to them. And so many of those people wanted to become Christian as soon as they heard the message. Our situation is different. If we were to go around Winstead and proclaim the gospel message, everybody thinks they know who Jesus Christ is already. They've heard of him. They were probably baptized, maybe confirmed. They think they know what the gospel is. But they're not here. Our church should be packed. Packed with people. But people don't know. They think they know who Jesus Christ is, but they haven't encountered him in such a way that they that they want to give their lives to him. So that's our job, to get people back here. What's the fruit of the proclamation of the gospel message? We hear it today, that in Samaria, all these people wanting to become Christian, the writer of this says that there was great joy in that city. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, effectively proclaimed joy. So it's not that we want people to crawl their way into church feeling this heavy sense of obligation to be here. We have to go to church. No, it's we want people running here joyfully because here they encounter the living God who loves them, their Father. Here we meet Jesus in person. Here we remember who we are as Christians. We're given a mission, sent out from here to live our faith in a convicting way, a way that attracts others. Let's ask God to really renew within us this deep appreciation for the gift that we've received in the Holy Spirit through baptism and confirmation. Let's ask the Lord to make us open to the mission that he's given us, trusting that he's giving the grace to do it. He's given us the Holy Spirit. So now, with our yes to him, it's our turn, our job, to bring the gospel to the people.